And welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Hello, my friends. I'm Rita Hauck-Lane, your host for the next hour. Please join me as we venture deeper into life with Jesus Christ. All through the sacred scriptures in the Bible, we read that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. So let's do that for the next hour. Welcome, welcome. And I ask him to please richly bless all of us and our time together. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Yes, it's that day. It's kind of funny. When I grew up down south, and they really didn't pay much attention to St. Patrick's Day. There was a really nice Irish restaurant in town, and we had so much fun there. So much fun. There was a moose head on the wall, and there were, a singer would come, and he did this song, "Kiss the Moose, Kiss the Moose." And so the place would be packed with people, and he would, you know, sing this song. And every time he said, "Kiss the moose, kiss the moose," he'd point at somebody, and you had to get up and go kiss the moose on the wall. And it sounds stupid, but it was hilariously funny. And we had so much fun there. But I miss my local favorite here in Pennsylvania, favorite Irish pub. It's no longer there anymore. We've spent many evenings with family and friends at Maggie O'Neill's in Pilgrim Gardens years ago. It was a wonderful place, and spent a lot of time there throughout the year. You know, it wasn't just St. Patrick's. In fact, a lot of times we avoided St. Patrick's because it was a madhouse, but it was a very popular place. We loved it, and we miss it. And anyway, happy St. Patrick's Day. I hope you have a lot of good food and a lot of fun today. Safe fun. Today is Monday in the second week of Lent. And so I want to share some good news with you. You know, we don't hear enough good news these days. But if you remember, last year after Easter, I shared news from France. How they were shocked over the Easter weekend. They had standing room only crowds and people standing outside of their parishes because they couldn't get in for Easter services, the Easter masses. It was like, it was shocking because, as you well know, and if you don't know, I'm telling you, France has been kind of a desert when it comes to Christianity for the, you know, last God knows how many years. But they, all of a sudden, in the last maybe 10 years or so, there's been a slow, dramatic reawakening of the Christian faith there. And it's really exciting because if the Lord can bring France around, the Lord can bring anybody around, because France has really, really not been, at one point it was like the oasis of Christianity in many ways. Our Lady's appeared there a number of times. They have a number of saints from France, etc. So, anyway, last year it was a phenomenal turnout at Easter, and it was all across the country. It wasn't just one area or one town. It was all across the country. And we also, I shared with you, we also in the United States had remarkable increases in a mass attendance for Easter. So something really good is going on. But the reason I bring that up is there's new news from France. Regarding Ash Wednesday. On Ash Wednesday, they had similar results again. But this time it wasn't Easter, it was just Ash Wednesday, which is, I mean, obviously been pretty popular here. But over there it hasn't been. And I want to share with you a quote from a parish priest in Lille. He says, "We shattered attendance records on Ash Wednesday. Shattered attendance records. Across the three masses we offered, we had larger congregations than ever before." I'll say that again. Across the three masses on Ash Wednesday, we had larger congregations than ever before. Nearly 1,000 faithful gathered at St. Maurice Catholic Church in the evening. In the evening, more than 1,000 people came. Many of them were young people attending for the first time. So it was remarkable. And apparently this happened in many, many churches across the country. It shocked the priests and the religious who worked there. And it says, after interviewing some of the attendees, there were many reasons for their coming. Primarily, they are fed up with the superficial way of life that the secular world offers. Sex and drugs and, you know, vacations and money and all this sort of thing with no depth to it, no heart in it. It's empty without the heart. It's empty without Jesus. So basically, they're tired of it. They know it doesn't work. Watch the news. It doesn't work. So a lot of them said that they were searching for real meaning and structure in an uncertain world. That's why do you think that Jesus said often, Jesus was referred to often as the rock? Yeah, I'm not talking about Peter, but as a rock. The Lord is my rock. He's my stronghold. You know, it's because He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change according to the times. He doesn't change who He is because He is eternal. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is the rock of our salvation, the person, the one person that we can count on always. And these young people are looking for that. And they know, they've been told, they've been witnessed to. They say, "I haven't tried this. I'm going to go there." And you know what? They're going to find what they're looking for. They will find what they're looking for there. And some also were seeking comfort and encouragement while dealing with everyday challenges. You know, life is not easy, never has been. And so, you know, they're looking for purpose and meaning and comfort and encouragement and hope. This year in the Catholic Church is dedicated to hope. The world needs hope. And the one true hope is Jesus Christ. It really is. And so anyway, Catholic social media, including radio and TV, is awakening faith throughout the world. It really, truly is. A lot of these young people, even here in the United States, are saying that that they have been exposed to social media, TV and radio, and it has touched their hearts. And they're seeking and they want the Lord. You know, when I was at the retreat with Kathleen and Father Blunt earlier, before Christmas. I think it was before Christmas. I go to so many, I can't remember what's what. You know, he dedicated a great amount of prayer and masses to the young people in the world. Because they're waking up and they're coming to the Lord or back to the Lord, whichever one it is. They want church. They don't take it for granted. They don't reject it. They want it. They see the beauty of it. My own goddaughter told me when we were at the Catholic Women's, the Philadelphia Catholic Women's Conference a few years ago, she wasn't Catholic yet. And during the Mass, I was explaining to her what it was, you know, what was going on. And she was just, the whole Mass, this is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. Over and over, she said it multiple times. And so, you know, you just never know. The young people are open to it. It's, you know, the skeptics who are older who are not open to it. The young people are open now. And so pray for them, please. But anyway, I wanted to share a little bit more of that news with you. In France, Dominican Friar Paul Adrien has almost 470,000 followers on YouTube. Over 470,000 followers on YouTube. This is a Dominican friar. He is obviously reaching people with his message. And I haven't heard of him, so I'm going to go on myself and listen to him and see what he's doing that is so many people are responding to. And Sœur Albertine, a nun in France, has over 270,000 Instagram followers. A nun, 270,000 Instagram followers. Is that not amazing? I think it's wonderful. And in France, still, these are only two examples of the effects of social media in France. But what was also really cool is many young people posted, when we say young people, we're talking about young people, say, under the age of maybe 35, you know, from late teens to 35, somewhere in there. But a lot of them posted pictures of themselves online with their ashes on their foreheads after Ash Wednesday Mass and shared why they had them. And, I mean, that's remarkable. It's remarkable. The Lord is working. He is working. And, so please, please, please pray for these parishes around the world that are having a huge increase in, even if it's only for special occasions, those seeds are still planted, and it's a good thing. So please pray for these churches, the Catholic churches around the world, and also the other Christian churches. Maybe they're having the same kind of thing happen with them. You know, coming to Jesus is important, all right? And so please pray for all of these churches throughout the world to be able to respond effectively to the large demand from these seekers. One of the priests mentioned in France that he was really concerned that they wouldn't be able to respond well enough because of the large numbers of young people and people just coming back to church and seeking things and needing things and wanting to know more. And a lot of them were asking to be baptized and to join the church after the Ash Wednesday. And so they have a big job ahead of them, thank God. And the Lord will provide, but we need to pray for them because they're going to need a lot of help. They're going to need a lot of help because you don't want to lose these people once they've made those baby steps towards the Lord. So please pray for them. Here in the United States, there are so many So many effective Catholic social media influencers, pardon me, that it's impossible for me to even like go into it. But we've seen a lot of that happening here. We've seen the effects of the TV series The Chosen. I mean, it has radically affected young people and us old folks too. It's a remarkable, obviously God-inspired miniseries. And that's really, really done an amazing job. And two of, I call them movers and shakers in the media and internet world that I've had experience with, I do want to mention them. Father Barron's Word on Fire Ministries. He's in everything. There's TV, there's radio, there's podcasts, there's internet. I mean, you name it. There's everything. Father Barron's Word on Fire Ministries. And then, of course, Father Schmidt's Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year podcast. Really, really amazing. People are, I think I told you this, but the Catholic, all the bookstores actually, but especially the Catholic bookstores, are selling thousands of Bibles as a result of Father Schmidt's Bible in a Year podcast. Thousands of Bibles. And at one point, it was the number one podcast in the country of the United States. That tells you something. People, Mother Teresa used to say, people are starving for God. And they're looking for him in all the wrong places because they don't know it's him that they're looking for. So these podcasts and this social media are helping people to see the truth. And the truth is that everyone, even believers, are hungry for the Lord. And he built that into us when he created us. He built that seeking that we all have. We're seeking happiness. We're seeking stability. We're seeking all these good things in life. But if we don't know him, we look for him elsewhere. And so we can really make some serious mistakes looking for all of those wonderful things that we have in the Lord when we don't know to look for them in the right place. And those things are never the answer. They just actually can end up causing depression because the world tells you that that's where you're going to be happy. If you make a lot of money and you get to travel and you have fancy cars and your friends all look up to you and envy you, that's going to give you happiness. No. No, I'm sorry, y'all. It's good to make money if you share it. It's good to make money if it's put to good use and to help people, not only your family, but others too. You know, as long as you're making your money ethically and not immorally, there's nothing wrong with making money. It's using it the wrong way. It's putting too much love of money in your life. I've known people that were poor when they were younger or somewhat poor, and they're so obsessed with money now that they're grown, and they're just obsessed with it, you know. So, nonetheless, these Catholic podcasts and stuff, I suggest you search the internet. If you're curious at all about what's going on out there, that's good. Let's put it that way. Be careful when you search on the internet. don't spend any time on the podcasts who are hypercritical. There's enough of that in the world. Spend time seeking the truth in a way that brings you joy, down in your soul joy, the real truthful joy, not the superficial, you know, things that you see online and not the stuff that lies about the truth of the Lord. So search the internet for Catholic podcasts to see what's out there. One of my favorites is on Good Pods, GoodPods.com. It's called The Best Catholic Podcast of 2025, The Top 61 Shows. It's mind-boggling to me that there's at least 61 shows, because you don't hear all this good news, you know? So anyway, The Best Catholic Podcasts in 2025, The Top 61 Shows, I found that list on goodpods.com. So check it out, find out what's out there. There's all sorts of different types of podcasts that can really appeal to your heart. Give the Lord a chance during this Lenten season, give the Lord a chance by seeking Him in social media, TV, radio. You know, listen, watch, ponder. Anyway, remember this good news that I shared with you. When things seem dire in the world, Jesus Christ, thank God, is alive and well on planet Earth. Jesus Christ is alive and well on planet Earth. So remember the good news. The Lord says multiple times in Scripture, remember what I have done for you. Remember what you've heard. The good news that you've heard. Remember. And so when things seem dire in the world, remember what you've heard. That is good news. Jesus Christ is alive and well on planet Earth. Sometimes our boat of life may seem like it's sinking. It's being overwhelmed by the challenges and storms of life. But, just like in the scripture story, Jesus is in the boat with us, even though it doesn't seem like it. It seems like He's asleep. He is in the boat with us, and it will not sink. Our boat of life will not sink as long as Jesus is in it. Yeah, we'll have tough times. People will die, but He is there. He's present. He makes Himself known to you. He calms you. He encourages you. The most amazing things happen when He's in the boat of life with us. And I just want to say, praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. So, I have to break in a couple of minutes, but I wanted to go back to what I was talking about the last few weeks. Sin sickness prescriptions. And I brought that up because sin has serious, serious, terrible effects on our minds, our bodies, and our souls. So I call that sin sickness. The sins in our lives make us sick. They wound us. It's a horrible thing. You know, it's funny because a lot of times we convince ourselves that doing things that are wrong, that God has said we shouldn't be doing, are actually fun and are actually rewarding. and all that. And so why would I want to give that up? Well, you know, you keep doing it over and over and over again, and it becomes a very, very, very empty thing. I have a cousin, and I hope he's not listening right now. I'm not going to say his name. But he was a kind of dorky kid. And when he became an adult, he got himself all, you know, fit. And, you know, he was really handsome, actually. And he got a high-powered job. And he went, he started dating a lot of women. And he would string them along, and he would, you know, cheat on each one. And that's why he was a ladies' man in not a good way. And he was in his like late 40s, and I saw him and I said, "Hey, you know, when are you going to settle down? When are you going to get married or something? Or when are you going to quit using these women?" He says, "I can't. I have no desire whatsoever to get married. I like women too much. I like to go be with them all the time. And yeah, I get myself fulfilled physically by, you know, the more the merrier kind of thing." And you know what? He never, ever married. And I don't think he's ever really been happy. Because he's older now. He's not that buff, cute guy anymore. And, you know, it seemed okay at the time, but it's not okay anymore. And now he's old, and, you know, life is pretty empty in many ways for him. So, living in the world, that sickness can really do bad things to you. I have to take a break. We'll come back in a few minutes, and I'll keep talking about this and sharing with you. And God bless you. Don't go away.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back. I'm Rita Halk Lane, your host for the next half hour. In the past half hour, we were talking about all the wonderful things we're hearing out of the country of France about young people and a lot of people of all ages coming, going to church on Ash Wednesday, and remarkable turnout throughout the country, the whole country. And it's also happened here, but it's really remarkably done. I mean, the effects are really remarkable in France. So we talked about that for a little while. And then I started to talk about the sin sickness prescriptions that I was sharing with you for the last few weeks. You know, sin is debilitating to our hearts, minds, and bodies, and our souls, I mean. And so we need to follow the Lord's prescriptions, be willing to partake of the prescriptions that the Lord, the church, and the saints have given us. You know, if we take advantage of these cures, and they are cures, we, especially during Lent, this is the perfect time to partake of these prescriptions. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And I shared with you how I had a cousin who thought that living a sinful life and using women as toys and to satisfy his own needs, socially and physically, was a good thing when he was younger and happy, younger, handsome, and that sort of thing. He could have that laissez-faire attitude, but now that he's older and never married, and he's missed out a lot on life, the beauty of a real relationship. And so I feel sorry for him. And now he looks back, it was great while it lasted, but what do I have now? Right? And it wasn't great while it lasted. You know, it was a form of abuse of women, cheating on them, stringing them along, you know, that sort of thing. That's not great while it lasted. So anyway, the last few weeks I've been sharing some prescriptions that you might want to partake of during the Lenten season. The first one I spoke about was repentance. It's a big word. We've heard it all our lives, most of us, and it's like, oh, I don't want to hear about that again. But repentance is much, much deeper. A lot of people think that it's just being sorry for your sins and going to confession, and that's it, you know. But no, it is actually, to repent is actually to turn away from our sins, because we know that they displease the Lord. They cause conflicts in our personal relationships as well as with the Lord. And so we want to turn away from it. We want to have a clear conscience. We want to have joy in the Lord. We want to have joy with others and not have these sins hanging over us and tormenting us or fooling us into thinking that they're good. So repentance is turning away from our sins, and it heals our relationship with God. It heals our relationships with others, or at least makes them proper again, okay? And then prescription number two is prayer and silence. And of course, here we go. Deeper, deeper, deeper. It's much more than speaking to God. Prayer is much more than speaking to God. It is spending more time speaking and listening to God. Speaking and listening to God. But setting aside special times throughout the day to actually spend time with Him in silence. You can say something like, Lord, I want to spend some time with you, quiet time with you, and speak, Lord, because I am listening. I want to hear your voice. I need to hear your voice. Or you can pray prayers like the rosary or prayers from your own heart and then listen. But always leave time, pauses, and time for the Lord to respond to you. And he will. So during Lent, try to set aside more time for prayer and silence. This heals our tendencies to fill our lives with unnecessary activities and actions. We are all too busy running around all over the place, or watching TV, or listening to, you know, the neighbors arguing, you know, all those sort of things. So there's a lot of unnecessary busyness that we're in, and setting aside time for the Lord and for silence with Him heals that constant need to be involved all the time with something else. It actually gives a lot of peace, and it gives a real intimacy with the Lord. A real intimacy. He is real. He wants to spend time with you, but He will not force Himself on you. He will not force you to spend time with Him. But the church, scriptures, the Lord Himself has told us, come away. Come away with me. Okay? So, and prescription number three is fasting. It is much more, we want to go deeper. It's much more than giving up something you like. It's much more than that. If you want it to be, you know, it breaks the bonds of slavery to our bodies, bad attitudes and habits that draw us away from God and each other. Fasting is a type of self-discipline that is difficult, but with the grace of God, we can do it. And it can be more than food. It can be fasting from certain types of social media that aren't good for you. It can be fasting from going shopping all the time. Those kind of things. And also, it's really good to abstain and fast where food is involved, you know. When we do that, it gives us power to break the bonds of slavery to our bodies, our bad attitudes and habits that draw us away from God and others. Okay? So it's a good thing. Although it's difficult, it's worth doing. And so I wanted to share with you prescription number four. You probably already know there's for Lent in the Catholic Church, we are taught there's three things that we should really do more of or begin doing during Lent that hopefully will heal us and continue on into the rest of the year and for the rest of our lives, hopefully. And that is prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. All right. But I have other prescriptions as well. Those are three prescriptions. They are healing prescriptions. Okay. But, and I am going to speak on almsgiving right now, but I'm not stopping with those three things. Started with repentance. Then there was, fasting and prayer and silence, and now we're into almsgiving. Almsgiving teaches us to be generous and charitable out of love for God and for others. As you well know, Pope Francis's latest encyclical is on the heart of Jesus and on our hearts, and the fact that we are very hard-hearted and cold-hearted as a nation and as a world, actually. And it's affected all of us to some degree or another. And so almsgiving creates an opening in our hearts for the Lord to heal our hearts and make us new again. So it's much deeper. Almsgiving is much, much deeper than just giving money to Catholic charities or some other good cause. It's more than that. A lot of times when we're younger, you know, we give money We collect our dimes, we collect our quarters, we collect our pennies, you know, in a jar or whatever, and we donate that, you know, and we're happy to help people through that donation. But it's much, much more than giving money. What almsgiving is actually a response. It's supposed to be a response from our hearts to the teachings of Jesus that encourage us to reach out to people in need. Not just with our money, but with our time and talents too. It is a response to the teachings of Jesus about responding to being aware of and doing something about the needs of others, not just with our money, but with our time and talents and our hearts. It is a heart response. Should be. And if that hasn't been happening with you, pray for it. Jesus, give me a heart like yours. I it's easy for me to give this money, but is there some way that I can give of my heart and my talent to serve other people, to make the world a better place during this Lenten season that actually may affect me the rest of my life, that might be something I can do and spend instead of watching TV all the time or whatever, I can give of myself. Mother Teresa used to say, we can get money. What we really need are hands to serve and hearts to love. If you don't know who St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta is, look her up. Look her up. The Lord sends saints at specific times in history to reveal to the laity and to the church, well, the laity and the hierarchy, everyone in the church, and even people outside the church, what we need to be doing because we've gotten away from some things. And this is how we can address the needs of the nation and of the world, by listening to those saints. And Mother Teresa is a fairly recent saint who made a profound impact on the world. People from all around the world went to India to serve, to volunteer. People that weren't even Christian, weren't even faithful people. People from around the world went. And then, of course, as time went by, their religious order expanded, and they're all around the world now. And here in Philadelphia, there's two mother houses. There's a convent. There's two convents, one in Norristown and one in Chester. And she used to say, we can get money. What we really need are hands to serve and hearts to love. Because she understood that people, the poor, need to be loved, and they need to see people caring for them, not just to be given some money. That's the difference. She used to say, we are not a social organization. We are a Christian organization. We serve Christ first, and we serve others with the love that he gives us for them. It is love-centered. Okay. So anyway, she also used to say, we receive much more from the poor than we give to the poor. In other words, living and working with the poor is good for everyone. The ones in need and the ones giving. Everyone wins when the poor are served. Everyone. And I can attest to that because I've been working with the sisters for many years. And there's just nothing like it. Nothing like it. Sure, there's some grumpy ones. Sure, there's some that take things for granted. Sure, there's some demanding ones. Sure, there's some very ungrateful ones. But there are a lot of really, really, really wonderful poor people. She also taught me there's more than one type of poverty. I used to think it had to do with material, you know, money, goods, poverty. I thought that's what poverty was, but she also taught me about emotional poverty, spiritual poverty. The richest people in the world can be emotionally and spiritually poor. And the poorest people in the world can be emotionally and spiritually rich. So, when we work with the poor with our hands and with our hearts, we receive so much. And it's a joy. It's a joy. However, at one point in my life, I saw the need around the world, and it was just so much. It was overwhelming. It paralyzed me. And Mother Teresa taught me to just focus on one person at a time, the person the Lord puts in your way, in your life that day. Or if you do what he wants us to do, be out there in the world volunteering and helping people that need help, that person that's in front of you at that time, and do one person at a time, help one person at a time, focus on one person at a time, and to do small things with great love. She said, we're not called to do great things. We're called to do small things with great love. And trust me, when I heard that, I said, I can do that. I can do that. One person at a time, a small thing, great love. I can do that with the help of the Lord. And it's an eye-opening, amazing, thrilling thing that the Lord has given us in Mother Teresa to show us that. And she also got some of that from the little flower, St. Therese. So I encourage you to use your Lent to reassess your spending, money, and time. Decide how you can redirect some of your money and time to making the world more beautiful for others. You know, it's kind of funny, you know, like the first time I called the Sisters Convent in Chester. You know, they were doing one ministry, and I said, well, I really can't help you with that. And there were reasons that I couldn't do that. But the Sister Superior asked me, Sister Vineeth, God bless her, what do you do? And I told her, well, you know, I have, at that time, 3 Montessori schools and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, oh my goodness, we've been praying for you to call us. Well, I said, what? And she said, we've been praying for you to call us. We have a summer camp in July, and we have a summer camp, and we all the sisters here don't have very much experience with summer camp. Maybe you could help us run the camp. And I said, well, I don't know. You know, can you come over on Monday and we'll have a meeting and we'll figure something out if it's possible. And I said, okay, all right. And she said, can you come at like 10 o'clock? Sure. I'll come at 10 o'clock on Monday. So I took off from work. But I said, when does camp start? And she says, on Monday afternoon. So that was 24 years ago, and I still do camp. So you never know what a little yes can lead to and the joy that you can get from that. So redirect some of your money and time to do something beautiful for God, as Mother Teresa used to say. Do something beautiful for God and for others. And cooperate with what the Lord asks and tells you through others. I could have said no to Sister Vineeth, and I would have been so poor all these years because I didn't do what she asked me to do. So be open. Be open. Another thing that happened to me one time, sometimes I go over to the Norristown. They have a soup kitchen there a number of mornings of the week. And I was over there one time. I had already prayed the rosary at home. And I was in the kitchen chopping carrots and doing things like that for the meal in the morning early. And the sisters always have pray the rosary with people. Anybody that wants to come in off the street and pray the rosary together at a certain time before, you know, all the cooking is done and everything. And so sister came in to me and she said, I would like for you to go and help, you know, with the rosary. It's time to pray the rosary. I said, well, sister, I'm really busy right now, and I've already prayed the rosary, so I'd rather stay here and get my work done, you know. And she looked at me, and she goes, it's time to pray the rosary. She was very sweet. I said, okay. So I left my work. I went in, and we started praying the rosary, excuse me, with the people who were there to have the I guess you would call it brunch. And it was so remarkable. So remarkable. It was so simple, so beautiful. And to be praying with the people that I came there to serve food to be praying with them. It was so eye-opening and so humiliating because I didn't realize how wonderful it was to just drop what you're doing and go and pray and be with these people. It was wonderful. I learned a lesson. You know, be open. Be open. And so almsgiving, I want to finish that up with a scripture from St. Luke in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. This is Jesus speaking. Always, always upbeat and good. Give and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you. Our generosity will be returned hundredfold, overflowing. Shaken down. You know when you fill a container and you shake it and then you can get more into it? That's what he's talking about. Packed down, shaken, overflowing will be poured into your lap. Okay? And so, of course, you know we don't give in order to get. We give to please and show love to the Lord and to others. But these verses show that our God responds to our sincere gifts of self and goods. And it's a great promise from Jesus. You, as Kathleen says, you can't outgive God. He always is generous. And then the last prescription, 5, I don't have much time to do it. I'll talk about it more in the future, but Bible scripture reading. Begin at this Lent. Go and read the Gospels. Read and ponder the events of Jesus' life. Read and ponder the events of Jesus' life. In particular, his encounters with all the different people that he encountered. In those events, read Matthew. Look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Deliberately assess how he came to meet each person or group. How did he come to meet them? How did he treat them? What were his attitudes, his words, his actions with each person or group? Really ponder these things. Ask the Lord to reveal himself to and the people to you in this pondering. And so, how he came to meet each person or group, how he treated them, his attitudes, his words, his actions with each person or group, and then their response to him. Okay? Just don't don't just read about him, ponder and learn from him. We learn from him how to effectively encounter others and the attitudes and love we need to be little Christs in our world. And also, we learn about him and how he treated them is how he loves us. It's a win-win situation. So I want to recommend a book to you. It's called The Greatest Words Ever Spoken. Everything Jesus said about you, your life, and everything else. It's written by Stephen K. Scott. It's a wonderful book, The Greatest Words Ever Spoken by Stephen K. Scott. It's all Jesus' quotes. And he's broken it out, all scripture, he's broken it out into subjects, like Jesus' identity, Jesus' words and parables, eternal life and salvation, judgment, hell, and eternal punishment, faith, healing, the mission of a Christian, the promises of Christ, evil, judgment, jealousy, the words we speak, repentance. All of these things are in this book, The Greatest Words Ever Spoken. Huge bestseller for years. So I recommend that you get it. And ponder those things too. I'm so happy that I could be with you today. I won't be live for the next 2 weeks, the next 2 Mondays, because I'm going away. I won't be in town. So I'll miss you. But you will be able to listen to a repeat show, you know, an archive show on WTMRradio.com. At 5 on both of those Mondays, WTMR.com. At 5 p.m. on my regular times on Mondays, and you click on Listen Live. All right. I would appreciate your prayers as my husband Joe and I travel, and I will be praying for you. Please pray for this apostolate, this station, and God bless you. I'll miss you. Take care. Bye-bye.